We did a series a couple months ago, maybe years ago, on forgiveness. I remember reading that quote and it just struck something in me. The question I want to ask today is, what do you do when you're not emotionally healthy? Ever spend some time with that thought? I could spend some time telling you your story, but it's kind of one of those moments you don't really want to see too much of yourself yet. So let me tell you a different story. It's actually from the Bible. I think maybe it was put in the Bible for this reason. It's about a guy named King Saul. King Saul is the first king of Israel in kind of this air quote history that's the Bible. And one day he's leading his forces against another group of forces. I told you guys a bit about this story the other day, but he's leading his force against another group of forces, and the other forces send forth their champion, Goliath. Any Monty Python fans out there? Do you remember the English Kniggets one where they like mock each other? That's what I think Goliath is doing to the Israelites. Like, you guys suck, you don't know what you're doing, you can't beat me, blah, 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 right? And here's the funny thing. It's Saul's job to protect his nation. But he's scared. He doesn't want to go and fight the giant. The guy's like 7 foot tall. Like he's big as a house. And so King Saul's sitting kind of in his tent trying to figure out what to do. And someone says, hey, we have a plan. And they send in this little kid, like barely a teenager. In Louis L'Amour terms, he's still wet behind the ears. This guy's name's David. And David says, look, we can't have the giant making fun of us. That's just not going to work for me. So I want to protect our honor, and I want to go do something about this. And so, if any of you know the Bible story, David walks out with his little sling and a stone. Ding! Giant goes down. Boof! Yay! But I want you to look at it from Saul's point of view. A 12-year-old kid just did what you were too scared to do. Can you imagine the jealousy inside of King Saul right there? The feelings of inadequacy, the feelings of I'm not enough. Just put yourself in the moment where a 12-year-old beats you at what you're too scared to do. And here's the point of the story. What does Saul do with those feelings? He's the king of a nation. It's not like you can go and complain to somebody and be like, that David, he's so arrogant, and I don't even like him at all. Saul takes all those feelings and just stuffs them deep down inside of himself. Anyone familiar with that? Fast forward. A couple years later, it's almost like that stuff inside of Saul is running his life because he keeps sending David on these missions that are more and more dangerous. Almost like he's trying to kill him. But every time David comes back and he's won, like, you know, impossible odds, the thing that no one could do, no one thought could be done, David does it and he keeps coming back. And Saul's sitting there and they're literally chanting his worst nightmare. Saul has killed his thousands, David his 10,000s. Think of your worst rival. And then everybody around you is chanting that they're better than you are. What's that going to do to you? So Saul does what he did with all the other feelings. He takes those feelings and stuffs them down inside of himself. But there's not as much room as there used to be. He's been stuffing those feelings for a long time. And this one's kind of stuck right here, like right in his throat. Fast forward another little bit of time. All of this stuffing of emotions starting to weigh on King. Headaches, depression, stomach issues. Weird pain in his body. Sound familiar? But they don't have modern medicine, so they can't do anything. They can't give him pain relief. They can't even really knock him out. So his advisors do what they do in those times. They bring in a harper, someone who plays a harp. So there's King Saul, years of jealousy and rage and frustration, all stuffed inside of these, holding on to so tight, and it is tearing him apart. And in walks frickin' David, the crack harper. Not only can the guy kill giants, not only can he kill 10,000 people, he plays harp. Can you believe that? You're like, you got to be kidding me. Like, you could just see Saul just like... And he does what we all do, but he does it in the story, literally. We do it metaphorically. He picks up the spear, and he tries to kill the thing that hurt him. Not many of us have thrown a spear, but if we raised our voices, we screamed at somebody, we said things that we may never be able to take back. A friend of mine was driving onto Deerfoot one day. Someone cuts him off. And it's like every moment of his life comes into the moment, and he's like, you just tell, it's just, so he pulls up beside the person, he's giving them like the, what the, and the girl just flips him off. And my buddy literally snaps. Every time he's been disrespected his whole life comes up into that moment and takes over everything. He follows her all the way to Okotoks, where she pulls into the police department and the police are waiting for him. Why? In a sane moment, he would never do that. But with all that crap stuffed in there, man, when it came out big. I still work for a guy. Small business, stressful time. I remember this one lady comes in and she had a, one of the products we sold her was faulty. Says, it's faulty, can you fix it? He comes out and just starts screaming at his customer. We're all sitting there, his employees just watching go down, going, like, holy crap, what is this? These are big stories, right? But you look at them from a smaller point of view. This is the story of our lives. This is the story of a life, an emotional life that's not well handled. And it's all of our lives. It's every fight we've had. It's every time someone comes to us with a hurt, and instead of being there present for them, we lash back at them. You don't even know. Screw you. I'm hurt. You can feel it because the moment is never as big as your reaction. Someone cuts you in traffic, no big deal, right? Losing your mind, something else is going on. All that stuff that we stuff down inside of us that we think is now no longer an issue, it comes up and takes over. And it tears holes in our lives that we can't always recover from. Part of my story is a story of that. I'm divorced. Going through that process, things were said, things were done. Emotions that should have been processed weren't. So I could say to you, okay, here's the fix. Next time before you're about to explode on somebody, just don't. You're all dismissed. Doesn't work that way, does it? We actually understand how the brain works. There's a part of our brain that's looking for threat. And what it does is it uses memories from our past to analyze current moments. It doesn't actually pay attention to anything. It kind of just sees, does this look like that thing that hurt me in the past? And if it does, I'm freaking out. So all those emotions we stored, oh, it's just like a filing cabinet for that part of our brain. Oh yeah, that feels like that one. Oh, that feels like that one. There's another part of our brain that's designed to create control, to stop that portion. And if you're not completely triggered, that's the technical word for when your brain kind of disconnects and the emotional part just takes over. When you're not triggered, your brain can slow itself down and be like, okay, but let's look at this. Were they actually doing that to hurt us? Was that actually directed against us? I know they said that, and this is a story I have in my head, but is that the real story? But once we've been triggered, the control part, it goes away. It takes a long time to get it back into online. And basically now, all we are is a walking wound of all the past hurts that we've ever experienced stored in us through those emotions we stuffed. No wonder we snap, huh? A guy named Dan Siegel, charming fellow. He's kind of the person who studied brain science in a way that no one else has. Everyone else references his work. In a book called Mindsight, says, the way you have to figure this out so that you don't have this kind of process of I stuff all my emotions, I have a moment that triggers them, and they all come out blasting out and just tear holes in my life. Says you can't stop them by will, but what you can do is you start processing through those emotions that you stuffed. And he says you do it this way. You take that one part of your brain that's freaking out and the other part of the brain that has control. You don't let the control just take the emotions and shove them down in you, because that's what we do. Right? You're a kid. You start crying. Your parents says, stop crying. What do? Friend doesn't call you for a long time after you've reached out. What do? I'm okay. You're not. The way the brain should work is different than that. This part of your brain, the brain that has control, should see this part of the brain that's feeling something, that's trying to communicate something to you. The way the brain works is if this part of the brain and this part of the brain can work together, you actually create relief from the emotion. And you don't have to stuff it anymore. So you got a really catchy phrase, name it to tame it. Guy likes his little phrases. Smart cat, though. Because the reality is, if you can name the emotions you're feeling, they dissipate. It's like the emotion is a piece of information that your brain is trying to say, we need to pay attention to this threat. And if you don't pay attention, I'm going to turn up the volume on you. And then I'm going to take all the memories you have that are similar to this, and I'm going to bring them to the forefront. Ever have a fight where you started in the one thing, and all of a sudden you're fighting about 16 different things? You're going, how did we get there? Yeah, that's what your brain's doing. Oh, you don't like this one? Let me bring all the past memories that I've never dealt with and stuff them into this moment. Some of you are probably like me and going, it's all good, Vince. I don't feel emotions. The reality is, my brain doesn't love feeling emotions. Especially in my past. If you came to me with some sadness, oh, I will shut that stuff down instantly. Joy, you name the emotion, I shoved it down so hard that that control part of my brain took over completely. For those of you who are like me, the truth of the matter is you do feel. And more important, the fact that you're not feeling is tearing holes in your relationships right now. When you can't feel joy with the people who are beside you who feel joy, it's like tearing your fingernails through their hearts. When you can't go to them where they are emotionally, when you try and deflect with silence or a fix or laughter or whatever you do, it's killing the people around you. And it can be your kids, it can be your spouse, it can be your friends, it can be your colleagues at work. This is what happens. Our brains are not designed to have that. They're designed to resonate together. So if you were like me, I'm telling you, this is a problem. and it's hurting the people around you. It's one of the biggest things that destroyed my marriage. I couldn't feel. How does somebody who feel live every day with somebody who can't feel what they're feeling? So what do? How do we deal with this? Because it's tearing our worlds apart, right? From the outbursts, to the anger, to the sullenness, to the withdrawn, to the depression, to the moments of, you know, not being present for somebody. It's all tearing our lives apart. And if we're about making this world a better place, this is an important topic. So what do we do? I'm going to try something I've never tried with you guys before, because I'm just crazy like that. Sometimes I like to try things that could go horribly wrong. But I just want to invite you to go through a meditation, if you're open to it. What we're going to do is we're actually going to do the process of naming to taming it. I'm going to walk you through it. If you're not into it, just, I don't know, surf on your phone or something like that. Just don't make it obvious, because it's a little embarrassing for me, but it's all good. Okay. If you wouldn't mind, close your eyes. One of the things we know about our bodies is how we breathe impacts our brains. If you breathe up into your chest, your brain thinks there's a threat in place. And so what it'll do is it'll spin your brain up and try and find the threat. We don't want that. We're trying to de-escalate our brains, right? So here's what I want you to do. Is if you can, put your hand on your belly, like right by your belt, and take a deep breath and try and push your hand out. This is playing on the vagus system that basically tells your brain, we're safe. Take a deep breath in your belly. One more, and as you breathe out, just feel the tension start to drain out of your body a little bit. Now here's what I want you to do. Just as you're breathing into your stomach, just relaxed, feel the relaxation of your body. Feel where you are. I want you to bring up a moment where you were scared. Just bring it into your awareness. Do you remember where you were? Do you remember who you're with? Do you remember how it sounded in that moment? How it smelled? Let yourself go right to that moment. Where do you feel that feeling in your body right now? Is there a tightness in your chest? Turning of your stomach? Now here's the thing I want you to try. In your mind, don't say it out loud. Just say this. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. Can you feel the emotion shift just a little bit? Take a deep breath. Breathe out and just let that fear just slide out of your body. It might slide out of your hands or out of your feet into the ground. One more breath. Take another breath. And now I want you to bring up an emotion where you felt sad, or a moment where you felt sad. Just remember the moment. Bring it to your awareness. Feel where you are. Feel where your body is in that moment. Do you remember what it smelled like? What it sounded like? Just put yourself right into that place. If you can, where in your body do you feel that sadness? And now with that sadness fully in your awareness, just say, I feel sad. I feel sad right now. Can Can you feel the flavor of the sadness shift a little bit? Let me do one more. Just take a deep breath out and let's let the sadness just kind of flow out of us. Just let that memory go, let the awareness go. Bring up to a time when you felt anger, rage. Bring the memory close. Put yourself right into that moment. Who was there? Where were you? When was it? What did your body feel in that moment? Now with that in your awareness, take a deep breath. And just say, I feel angry. Can you feel the anger shift a little bit? Move a little bit. You can do this with feelings of abandonment, neglect. Why don't we close it with love? Take a deep breath. Let the anger flow out. Just let your body relax. Bring up a time where you felt loved. For exactly who you are. For exactly how you are in this world. Can you feel it? Do you remember the time? Who were you with? Where were you? Where do you feel that love in your body? Maybe this one we should just keep the feeling of love with us, shall we? Let's take a couple deep breaths. When you're ready, open your eyes. In a small way, I showed your system what naming it to taming it can do. Just saying the name of the emotion tells your system, I hear you and I'm present and I get it. It shifts the emotion. For a couple years now, I've done a men's group. So basically, I've already told you my story. This was not my thing. In fact, sadness, I would run from sadness with all my might. If you came to me with sadness, I wouldn't even see it in your face. I would just ignore it. Just I couldn't deal with my own sadness. And I was so full of emotional sadness, I had no room. And everyone coming to me, like anyone coming to me with that feeling, just was overwhelming. I couldn't deal with it. And so I started figuring out, okay, I'm divorced. That didn't work really well, so how do I deal with this? So I started studying people who study this kind of work. And I actually went to California to learn how to run men's groups to deal with this. Because in our culture, men, we tend to bottle our emotions more than most. We do. And when our partners come to us, or when our kids come to us, or our colleagues, when our friends, and they come to us and they say, hey, I'm feeling this, or I'm feeling this, and we're so full of emotion that we literally can't deal with any other emotion in our lives. And we shut down, and we shut them down. And I realized I can't live that way anymore. It's tearing people apart around me. It's easy for me, right? I'm just a robot. So I decided to start running men's groups here. I've run a few. If this is something that you're struggling with, and please, if you're partnered, do not poke your partner at this point. Like, hey, you need to go to this, buddy. Please don't. That's mean. Let them come to this realization on their own. Because the work is ridiculously hard. It's not that you have to share a whole bunch, but it's hard to start processing through the crap in our lives. But if you're interested, send me a note. Just go to friendchurch.ca/men, sign up. I'll give you a shout. It's designed to give you the capacity to feel again, to feel the feelings of the people around you. We have a women's group that also does this. It's called, Chantel, can you throw it up there for me? The Full Circle. Just send a note to fullcircle@friendchurch.ca or text that number. And start this work. To me, this is a daily practice now. One of the things I got you to do, right? Feel your emotion, then feel where you feel it in your body. When you've done this for a while, you can actually feel in your body like, ooh, my stomach's not feeling good today. It's not the spicy burrito from yesterday. It's that feeling that I always get right here. Tension in my chest, like a band. Can't breathe anymore. You'll start to know what emotions are stuck in there that you need to deal with. And every day, this is what I do. I just let them come up, and I just say what they are. Oh, man, I'm feeling frustrated today. Oh, that situation, that made me angry. Oh, I'm sad. All we do is we name it. And let's be honest, if you're as old as I am, I've been doing this for 47 years, I got a bit of backlog. There's some emotions down there that I'm having to deal with. And so as they come up, I just keep doing it. And I can feel the kind of the emotional backlog starting to drain out of me. I can have a moment where my partner comes to me and she's feeling a lot and I'm okay. And I have this weird moment of like, I should be freaking out right now. This should not be okay. And yet I can be with her and her emotions and it's okay. If you do this practice regularly, your life will change. That demon inside of you, that thing that King Saul was fighting, that starts to go away. And you deal in moments, not in all the moments, not in all the backlog. You just have moments where you say, oh, that annoyed me. Okay, moving on. Not that annoyed me. And every other time I've ever been annoyed is in this moment. And now I have to lose my mind on you. But more importantly, it's this. We exist as an organization to make this world a better place. The reality is we are all connected to people through work, through school, through neighborhoods, through partnerships, through family, through kids, you name it. We're all connected to people. And the emotional backlog inside of us that we're stuffing down, I think is tearing holes in all those relationships. Some you can repair, and let's be honest, we've all said stuff that we go, this relationship will never be the same again because of what just happened. If we can process through this old emotion, if we can do what King Saul never did, we can avoid those moments where we destroy the people around us and we literally make the world a better place. We have capacity for when our kids are upset. We can be with them. We can have capacity for when our friends are excited. We get excited with them. We have moments where we get upset, but it's not a massive blow. It's just this little moment. It's like, yeah, that annoyed me. Can you stop? Yeah, okay. Not you. Think of your life with capacity. Think of your life with that emotional capacity. What could your world look like? That's why we do these messages. And I think that's why the story of King Saul partially made it into the Bible as a cautionary tale to say, you know what? You go down that road, it's ugly. So my wish for you, my hope for you, my prayer for you, as you start working on the emotions that you stuff down inside of you, create health, create room to love the people around you. Amen. Have a great week. Jeff's going to come next week. He's going to talk about the social reset. This was the emotional reset. His is the social reset. You got to come back. Have a great week. Enjoy the warmer weather. We'll see you next week, guys.